us. It's good. We had a great day yesterday, food truck stuff. I just want to say thank you so much for the folks that came and served. Such a great opportunity for us to love on our community. If you've never gotten to be a part of one of these things, you're missing out. I mean, man, it's amazing. It's one of those things that if you haven't seen it, it's kind of beyond you to understand. I mean, we literally get a tractor trailer full of food and we give it to people who need it. I mean, it is about as close to some of the stuff that we see Jesus command us to do over and over again. And I mean, magically people come out of the woodwork that need it. I just want to say thank you to all of you that are faithful to helping us with that and do that. It's such an amazing opportunity. I think we served 215-ish families, which equates to, I think the number count of people within those families was a little under 700 people, which is, I mean, it's just amazing we get to do that. But thank you so much for helping out. Just very encouraging day yesterday to get to be a part of all that. And thank you to some of you that, that hung out and helped clean up and all that kind of stuff. Allowed me to be able to get on out and be able to get back to studying and things like that for today. That means more to me than you know. It's a huge deal. Go Wildcats, right? Go Big Blue. I mean, I got to say it, right? Yeah, lead back there, come on. And, I mean, it's not often that I talk about sports because I generally can't keep up with it these days, but I used to love college basketball, and I am a Wildcats fan because I'm from Kentucky, and you don't grow up in Kentucky and not love the blue. And some people do, but they love red for some reason, and I've never figured out why that happened. We know what the guys in our micro church are going to be doing tonight together as part of the evening anyway. So it'll be good times. But one of the things yesterday, I had somebody come to me. I'll make mention of this. I had somebody come to me yesterday and say, it was one of the guys in our church, and he said, I've been thinking about serving in kids. We've been talking about serving in kids the last couple of weeks. We have a great need. And I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to keep talking about it until we have built the team that I think that God wants us to have. We're looking to build a team within our kids' ministries of people that just will be willing to go in there and spend time with our kids and love on them. And you may not be a teacher. And this guy came yesterday to me and said, I'm not sure. He said, I've been thinking about helping with kids. He said, but I'm not sure that I'm the guy. And he said, I need to know, does everybody need to be able to teach and that kind of thing? And I said, absolutely not. There's so many different facets of ways that you could help within our kids ministry and be a part of that team. I just can't begin to tell you. I mean, it is endless with people needing to help with tech stuff, to people just needing to be a body in the room, men especially. Just to be able to, I mean, guys, let's just face it. We have the ability sometimes to tell boys what they need to hear, and they listen to us sometimes more than the ladies. And so sometimes it's just a need to have some men in there that are willing to do stuff like that. Ladies, to love them and to keep the men from getting crazy or whatever. I don't know. But there's a lot of needs. And so if you're still thinking about that, praying about that, I'm praying that God's gonna soften some people's hearts to be a part of that and not just come to church and just sit. Here's the beautiful thing about our church. You can come and you can serve during 1 hour and you can still go to worship in the other hour. So you never have to miss church. And that's what we want. That's what we want for folks. We want to give people opportunity to serve others and to love others and still be able to come and worship God. My whole family comes both hours. We have four little girls and all of our little girls are in there both hours. And we have learned it's been a good thing for our kids to be able to do that. So if you've got kids and you're afraid of it, don't be afraid of it. Just jump in and be a part of it. And you may say, well, we got this. Listen, just think about it. Pray about it. Jump in there today when you're leaving. Get one of the background checks. Go ahead and fill it out and give it to them. We've got a great season of ministry ahead of us. where we're going to need a lot of hands on deck. And this is obviously, I'm talking to folks that, you know, if this is your church home, be a part of your church home. Be a part of serving and serving others in the body. We're actually kind of talking about some of that today with some stuff, and that'll kind of come through. But again, no guilt involved. Just be the church. Let's be the church together, and let's serve one another. If you got a Bible, go ahead and get it out. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. And if you don't have a Bible, we've got ushers, and our ushers have Bibles, and they're going to walk the aisles with Bibles so that you can have a Bible if you left one at home or if you don't own it. And if you don't own one, we want to give you one. It is a gift. You can take it, and we would love for you to have it. We're going to Ephesians chapter 4 today, and Ephesians chapter 4 is going to set off a little bit of something that we're going to be studying together today in the thought of the context of the statement, bear with me. You ever told somebody to just, hey, just buddy, just bear with me, okay? I need a minute here. Bear with me, all right? We know that. We know that term. We've used that term. We've had people use that term and say to us, hey, you need to bear with me. You need to hang on. You need to chill out, all right? And the truth is that Scripture actually teaches us to bear with one another. We've been doing this series on the one another's in Scripture. And today we're talking about bearing with one another. And that may sound like such a simple thing. And I'm going to challenge you today that some of the Scripture that we're going to read today is probably going to challenge you in some ways, make you feel uncomfortable or whatever. I just want you to know, my intention is not to make you feel uncomfortable. If you're feeling uncomfortable, that's between you and Jesus, okay? So check your heart there. But the passages that we're looking at today are just very straightforward, and it's Paul's teaching, and I'm thankful that God would use him to pen it. And we have this, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, this is Paul again, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And we'll stop there for just a second, because this is one of those deals where, like, everybody wants to know their calling. What's my calling? You know, once a year I go work with a camp at Austin Peay of students from all over the place, from all over the state and some in other states that come, and it's teenagers that are juniors and seniors and going into college, and they're all dealing with the thought that maybe God might be calling them to some type of ministry. And so we spend the whole week talking about calling. And here's the truth, is that we all have a calling, and we all want to know what our calling is. And a lot of folks don't know what their calling is. And the truth is this, our calling is the same. Did you know that? Yeah, well, Chris, no, wait a minute. I'm not called to be a pastor, and you're called to be a pastor. You're right. But at the bread and butter, at the very bottom, at the foundation of all of us being living, breathing, sucking air human beings, our calling is the same. And it's this. Are you ready? Because I'm going to tell you what your calling is. It is to glorify God. It is to make Him known. It is that because we exist, others know about Jesus. That's glorifying God. That's making Him known. And so our calling in life is that. And so for us to understand that is our calling, that's the base, that's the foundation of kind of what we're talking about here. When Paul is saying he's urging you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, that's very important. I mean, this is like ground level, like life changing, life shaping, important stuff Paul is giving us here. Urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So we've been called to glorify God. We know that. Paul's urging us. What's he urging us to do? He's going to give us right here, verse 2. He says, this is kind of how we go about this. He says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. I'll go ahead and read verse 3. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So here's what we've got with Paul. We've got him not just telling us to live a good life. He's given us some things. He's given us some tangible things for us to check our hearts with. Now I want to kind of preface all this, because we're gonna read through a bunch of Scripture, and your default mode to try to do the right thing, okay? Not the Spike Lee movie, just the phrase, okay? But to do the right thing, your default mode is going to want to be, I'm going to make a list of all these things, and I'm going to start doing these things this week. And your heart might be in the right place wanting to do that, but I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you with this. You're going to fail at this. We're going to fail at this. We're sinners. We need a Savior. Here's the beauty of it. Even though we fail, Jesus did not, okay? Jesus did not. He makes up the difference, and it is because of what he's done that we can attempt to do these things, okay? So before you make it about lists, I want to encourage you, and I'm going to say this once, and then we'll come back to it. I want you to check your hearts. I want us all to check our hearts. And as we go through this, I think you'll understand what I'm saying when I say that. But in verse 2, Paul comes in and he says, he's already told us, you know, to walk in a manner worthy of our calling in which you've been called. And he says this in verse 2, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love. All right, there's three words right there. Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love. These are three words that a lot of us are not always so great at wanting to adopt, right? You take humility, for example. This is the idea that we're gonna make others better than ourselves, that we're not gonna put ourselves first. Instead, we're gonna humble ourselves, we're gonna let others be before us. And in verse 2 right there, it says, with all humility. This is how we are to approach our calling. So if our calling, and let me kind of rephrase calling, okay? Because a lot of people are just like, well, I don't know if I'm called to it. Yeah, you are called, and here's the deal. You're not just called, you have a purpose. And so to even trump the calling thing, we'll just call it your purpose in life. And everybody wants to fulfill their purpose in life. They want to find their purpose in life. Our purpose in life is to glorify God, to make him known, to be Jesus to others, that they might see him, not us. That's humbling ourselves, because what we want to do is oftentimes, you know, we start off on the right path. And we're like, well, I'm going to let everybody know about God. I'm going to let everybody know about Jesus. And I'm going to do it this way and that way. And we're going to like full guns, just like go after it. And then in the end of it all, what ends up happening a lot of times is we make it about us. Because somewhere in there, somebody's like, oh, that you did a great job, or oh, you're amazing, and oh, I love you, and you're so awesome, and thank you for loving me, or thank you for caring, or you know, whatever. And it's in the temptation that we have to fight right there is oh, I'm you know, oh yeah, you're right, I am kind of cool, aren't I? Yeah, I am kind of a good, I'm kind of a big deal here. Check me out. We are not a big deal, okay? Let me go ahead and bust your bubble. God loves us. We do matter. We're important to him, which makes us important. He loves us. He cares for us very much. But at the end of the day, our life needs to be about humbling ourselves that others might know Christ in us and might see Christ in us and experience Christ working through us. And he says that we're supposed to do that by humility and gentleness and patience. Now, right here, the guys in the room are like, I don't know about the gentleness, dude. I'm just not with you on the gentleness. I don't do anything gentle. Listen, come on, guys. I know you know how to be gentle. You wooed these women that you have managed to put rings on their fingers and they are having your kids. You have learned to be gentle at some point in your life, because otherwise they would not be there, okay? We are called to gentleness. We are called in how we treat one another, love one another, bear with one another, that we would do so with gentleness. I mean, think about this. Think about bearing with one another, because that's where this is going. You got gentleness, then you've got patience. And we know what patience is. If I have to talk about patience, we're in trouble. We're all struggling with it. Let's just be honest, because we live in the fast lane of society. With all humility and gentleness and patience, he says, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. So what is that about? I mean, that's what the whole thing's about today. So what is it? What does that even look like? How am I supposed to bear with somebody? I don't know what that means, but we're supposed to like bear hug or bear wrestle, or what is the deal? No. This is talking about that we bear with one another, that we put up with each other. But not in the sense of like what we're normally thinking, like with putting up with one another, like I'm going to deal with them. No. Because Paul is very clear how we're supposed to do this is with humility, gentleness, and patience. And then on top of that, he says, bearing with one another in what? Love. Now, I have to go back and just make a quick, like, remember a few weeks ago comment here, because this is important to what we're studying right here. We studied several weeks ago that we're supposed to love one another. And when I talked about us loving one another, one of the things that we talked about was is that there's a difference between our love and God's love, okay? And like our love can be like great, it can be just great, passionate love, like we can have like the best love ever. But at the end of the day, our love is still not God's love. You see, God's love is a love that changes people's lives. It changes hearts. It gives grace when grace is never deserved. You know? I mean, like you and I, the truth is like you and I, we struggle with that. Last week we talked about forgiving one another. And I had all kinds of people talk to me. I had no idea what would come out of last week. It's been awesome to just hear lots of folks talking about conviction in their hearts and different things. You know, the truth is that we struggle with forgiving one another because we don't want to cut anybody a break. Somebody does us wrong, we just want to be like, well, I'm going to throw you to the wolves, you know. You know, I'm going to throw the book at you. Let me just tell you something. God never threw the book at us. And I'm thankful for that. Instead, he sent his son to die on a cross, to defeat death, and to be able to be the only way that we could be forgiven of sin. That he took on our sin. He bore our sin on the cross. And here comes Paul, and he says, with humility and gentleness and with patience, bearing with one another in love. And that love is not just a love that we conjure up. It's not just like, I'm going to give it my best shot love. This is talking about God's love. God's love changes everything. God's love changes everything. Here's the truth. If we're seeking Christ, if we're pursuing him, it changes everything in our lives. You and I both know, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you already know this to be true. That if we're seeking the Lord, if we're running after him, he's going to change our hearts. Gonna change them. I mean, like, what will happen is just from spending time with Jesus, I know for me personally, that completely changes my outlook on everything in a day. Completely changes my decision making in a day. Completely changes how I handle people even. I mean, I can be cynical with the best of them. You know, I can look at somebody and go, oh, here they come. Good grief. We're going to have to deal with that today, I guess. You know, we all have those people. You know what Paul says to that? It says, with humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love. In God's love, in powerful, life-changing love that belongs to him that we get because we know him and he wants to work through us. And then in verse 3, he goes on, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see what Paul's doing? He's challenging the church. And he's saying, church, you need to be about this. He's writing to the church at Ephesus specifically at this moment. And he's writing this and he's saying, look, bear with one another. Give each other a break. Right? That's what bearing with one another is. It's showing, it's giving somebody a break. I mean, when we say, hey, will you bear with me for just a minute? Hey, what you're saying is like, you know, will you give me a break for just a second? And when Paul's saying it's no different, he's saying bear with one another, give one another a break. Not only do you give one another a break, but you don't do it like while you're stomping around like, oh, here we go again. Oh my gosh. You know, I remember like when I was a kid and my mom would take me to Walmart. Oh man. And she'd spend forever. And I'm like, you know, there's only so long that you could look at the Transformers. And, you know, and finally I'm like, come on, mom. And, you know. And I got to where, you know, just out of pure boredom and wanting to kind of get back at her, She's forgiven me for this now, okay? But for wanting to get back at her, for being so bored and being at Walmart forever, and you could ask her. I'm not kidding. I would sneak away from her. If I was getting bored and ready to go home, I would sneak away from her and I would go to the service desk and I would tell them that I was lost. And I would say, can you page my mom? True story. I got the blue light special when we went home. It was never worth it. Kind of is now to be able to tell the story though. But you know, that's what we do. You know, we'll bear with people, you know, like we'll put up with it, but that's not what God's calling us to do. He's not calling us to put up with people. He's saying, what does he say? With all humility, humble yourselves to them. Make them better than you with gentleness. Well, gentleness isn't what we want to do. Generally, if God's having to instruct us to bear with somebody, gentleness is usually the opposite of what we want to do. We're like, you're taking too long or you've done me wrong and I just want to kick you in the stomach. With gentleness and with patience, which means don't go to the service desk and tell them that you're lost because you're bored, but with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager. I want you to pay attention to the way Paul writes this. He's very specific with his words. And he says, being eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what we're called to be, church. That we would be eager to maintain the Spirit of unity in the bond of peace. I can't tell you how much I appreciate some of the folks that are a part of our church that do this on a regular basis. I mean, they do this in so many ways. We have folks that, you know, they're encouraging, you know, they'll tell you truth if you need to hear truth, but they, you know, are about keeping the unity of the church and protecting the church and all of these things. I mean, this is so important, and this is what Paul's called us to. I mean, we're the bride of Christ. We're not buildings, we're not organizations. I mean, we got to do all that stuff just to meet or, you know, whatever, and be good with the government and things. But at the end of the day, we're a body of believers. That's what the church is, okay? That's what the church is, and that's who we are. We're the bride of Christ. And Jesus has said, hey, this is my bride, take care of her. If I leave my bride at your house and I say, hey, please take care of her, I'm going to be gone for a while, I expect you to treat her well. If you don't, I'm going to get mad, okay? Jesus, on the other hand, continues to offer grace and forgiveness. It's amazing to me that he could do that considering that we are his bride. And so it's important for us to keep the unity. And there's so many ways we can do that. Yeah, we can do that through, you know, dispelling gossip or, you know, we can do all those kinds of things. But, I mean, part of it, honestly, is just going, you know what? This is my church. This is where God has called me to be. And I'm going to help protect it by serving. I'm going to be a part of it. I'm going to be an active member of the body and not just be a suckerfish that just shows up and just takes and all this stuff. I'm going to be a part. I'm going to be a part. I'm going to be a gatekeeper. I'm going to make sure that God is using me where he's called me to be as a member of the body. Bearing with one another in love. And Paul is very specific here. He's talking to the church. He's saying, bear with one another in love, in God's love, with humility, gentleness, and patience. Stick it out. That's not what we want to do, is it? We don't want to stick it out. First time somebody makes us mad, I'm out of there. Forget that. I don't need that. I got work to do in my life. We got stuff to do at home, you know? How many people have been burned by the church? Everybody in here has been burned by a church at some point in time. Everybody in here has experienced something that's been awful for some of us. Man, I want to encourage you with this. Paul's saying, stick it out. Don't give up on them. They're sinners too. And at some point along the way, they're going to need to show you grace. Going to need to show us grace. And that's so true. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is a passage that we have that is about living the life that God has called us to live. And I'll be honest with you, it just felt so appropriate to study this little passage in light of bearing with one another. And I just feel like they go together. In fact, if you go back to the KJV, this passage is translated, be devoted, part of it, a verse in it is translated, be devoted to one another. And that's really kind of what stuck out. I remembered that verse. I remembered that passage in my mind. I thought, you know, that's important to us. That's important to bearing with one another. If we're going to bear with one another, we have to be devoted to one another, which means we're going to stick it out with one another. We're not going to run. We're going to do the right thing. And in verse 9 of chapter 12, it says this. It says, let love be genuine. Let me ask you a question. Who out there loves fake love? Anybody? I'm really hoping to make fun of somebody. Come on. You know? I mean, you think about this. I mean, we read that and we go, let love be genuine. You're like, Chris, come on. Of course I want love to be genuine. Yeah, but is it always genuine? I mean, isn't it sometimes just we're going to fake it, right? Sometimes we're just going about, you know, we're going to fake it, especially with the people that get on our nerves. Let's don't forget about them. The people that we've also been called to, you know, show them humility and gentleness and patience and all these things. We're like, I don't want to be patient with them. They take up too much of my time. I'm busy. Well, guess what? God's got something different. He says, let love be genuine. And of course we want love to be genuine. Because I double dog dare anybody in the room that at your next birthday party, when you get your loved ones together, I just dare you say, hey, I tell you what, this past year has been a great one, but I want to do this. I want to ask you if you would for the next year, you know, just to kind of take it easy on the love. In fact, you guys can just fake love me for the next year. And I'm okay with that. That'd be great. Because just, you know, fake it till you make it, right? We would not want to do that. We don't want to do that, and we don't want to do that for anybody else. Again, this is a heart issue for us. This is a heart issue of like, where am I with Jesus right now versus like, what am I capable of doing? Well, here's what we're capable of doing. We're capable of being really, really stupid idiot sinners who make really wrong decisions and treat people horribly sometimes. If that's what it's about, if it's about us, you know, if we're going to make it about us, that's what it ends up being. And God's saying, that's not what it's about in my kingdom. That's not what I sent Jesus to do. He says, let love be genuine. Harbor what is evil. Hate what is evil. Be disgusted by what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. And we read that verse right there and we think, man, that is like the simplest verse on the planet. But here's the truth. Holding fast is talking about let your foundation be somewhere in life. If we're letting our foundation be somewhere in life, he's saying, hate what's evil, hold fast to what's good. So that at the end of the day, whatever you're clinging to, let that be from God. And let your love be genuine. Well, we know from what we've been talking about that if our love is genuine, then it's a love that comes from Christ. And if our love is genuine, then it's from Him. I mean, it's like a natural thing because here's where we're tempted to become legalistic and go, well, I'm going to make my checklist and make sure that I do this with these people. You know, we got to, listen, back up and punt. We've got to start with us. We've got to start with us and Jesus. If our heart's right with Him, if we're in the right place with Him, we're going to want to do this. We're going to be eager. Remember what Paul said about being eager? We're going to be eager. We're going to be passionate. We're going to desire to cling to what is good, to hold fast to what is good, to hate evil, and our love will be genuine. Verse 10, it goes on. It says this. It says, love one another with brotherly affection. Love one another with brotherly affection. I picked on a couple of guys in the first service just because they were easy targets. But we've got a couple boys here at church. I call them the Ziegler boys. Adam and Joseph are brothers, and they grew up together. And man, I got to tell you, we're blessed with so many people in our church, and they're some of those folks that just I look at. I'm so thankful that they get to be a part of my life, that I get to be a part of a body together with them. They love Jesus. They love their families. They are, I feel like, are just great examples of men that are young men at that, but men that are trying to lead their families to love Jesus. And it's just awesome to see. And I just, they're humble. I just love those guys. And so I was talking about, you know, this passage, it says, love one another with brotherly affection. And I was talking about, you know, just yesterday, Joseph and Tiffany keep having kids, if you haven't paid attention. And they love having kids. It's awesome. And I'm glad that they do. I love having kids too. But they finally had to the vehicle options start running out at some point, you know, and they had to get a van. And so Joseph found this spectacular deal on a van, but the deal was like 17-hour round trip to go get this van. Well, who's he get to go with him? He gets Adam to go with him. And Adam's telling me, you know, oh, he wouldn't let me drive all the way there. You know, he has to drive, you know, but, you know, I went with him, you know, to get the van, you know, and then we came back, and then here we are, and we're both just dog tired. And I was just like, but that's a great example of brotherly affection. He would do whatever he needs to do for his brother. And that brotherly affection is what we're called to. Love one another with brotherly affection. That's not Paul saying, hey, love your brother with brotherly affection. No, that's a given. That's a given, okay? We know we're supposed to do that. And like, usually we want to do that. Maybe not all the time. But we know that that's the case. Paul's saying, love everybody with brotherly affection. Love one another with brotherly affection. And then it goes further. It says, this says, outdo one another in showing honor. Now this is, let me just tell you what, you're about, if this isn't sinking in yet, this is going to mess up, this is going to mess you up before the day's over with, all right? If you really think about this one. Outdo one another in showing honor. Think about the people that we typically think about as people that we want to honor. I mean, I immediately go to our soldiers. I immediately go to guys like some of the guys that we have here in our church that have literally given almost all of their lives physically, you know, and so many things. I mean, I want to honor those guys. I mean, those guys have paid a huge sacrifice. Think about the honor that we show those guys. And think about the fact that there are people in our lives that we dislike, but God is saying, you outdo them. Outdo them in showing them honor. Man, that's not where our hearts are so many times with dealing with people, is it? Outdo one another in showing honor, he says. Love one another with brotherly affection. He's challenging us that every human being in our lives, that we're supposed to treat them this way. We're supposed to do this for them. You go, Chris, that's just going to be weird. There's some people you just don't know because, Chris, let's just face it, some of them are weird. I understand. I meet a lot of weird people. I am one, okay? I've had families move tables when I'm eating by myself at restaurants because I have a mohawk on my head, okay? I understand. God has called us to something more than the rest of the world is okay with. And the truth is it will stand out. And the truth is it's supposed to stand out. The truth is that God wants to use us. Remember why? Remember our calling? To glorify him. That's when people see Jesus in us and they quit seeing us. Outdo one another in showing honor. Man, that is a challenge. Let's just face it, that's a challenge. Verse 11, it goes on. It says, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. You know what that means? Do not be slothful in zeal. is saying, do not lose your passions and your desires. You remember that? Remember Paul saying to be eager about it? You remember that? Remember that guy that we're called to be eager? We're called to not allow ourselves to become slothful and zeal. God's saying, don't lose the passions that I have given you for my kingdom. I can't tell you the numbers of people that have come and talked to me over the years about just different things that they feel like God has led them to, placed on their hearts or whatever. And they come to me and say, oh, you know, and I get excited, man. I get so excited about that. And then as time goes by, those things disappear. And without judgment, my heart breaks a little bit. But just because I'm just like, man, I wonder what happened to that. I wonder what happened to that. And life weighs us down, and oh, we're so busy, and oh, we're so important, and we got all this junk to do, and we completely miss the kingdom of God, which is the thing that we should be the most passionate about. God has given us great, great opportunity, and he's saying, don't lose the passion that I have given you for my kingdom. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. And then here it comes, kicking the pants. Serve the Lord. What's that look like? What's that look like for you in your life? Let me tell you what it should look like, okay? And I'm not trying to like read your mail or whatever. I'm not telling you what to do. But if we're going to serve the Lord, number one, we know that we've been called to do it with gladness, with joy, with great joy. But number two, we know that we've been called to do it, and not just when it's convenient, okay? And I think this is the biggest thing. I got to do a college retreat for a group of students out of West Tennessee 2 weeks ago. That's why I was gone. I spoke like 5 times in a weekend. And one of the things that I could tell like just hit home with them as we were talking about serving that weekend, one of the things that I had several of them come to me and say, you know, so simple. They just said, you know, the statement that you made about Jesus' ministry and his life never being separated completely blew me away. I was like, really? And they're like, yeah. But that is the truth. We never saw Jesus come in and go, hey, I tell you what, you know, I'll serve you as long as it's convenient for my schedule. Or, you know, hey, God, I'll do that, but let's just keep it at like a couple times a month or something like that. Let's get on some kind of... Jesus just served. He gave his life, his whole life. I'm not talking about even just his blood. He gave that. Our sins went with that, but he gave his life. His life was never about him. His life was always about others. It was always about the kingdom. That's the calling that God has put on our lives. It's not a convenience issue. It's a heart issue. Our hearts are in the wrong place. And we all know that we struggle with this. Remember where you go, if you go back, remember that little statement that we thought was so silly? Let love be genuine. Yeah, put it in check with all of it. Let love be genuine, harbor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Yeah, I'm all the way. I'm right there. Come on, God, me and you. But the truth is that, man, we're selfish. And we love ourselves too much most days. And this humility thing, this humbling ourselves to other people, this humbling ourselves to what God is calling us to do is hard. And in verse 12, let me just read verse 12 for you. And I'm just going to say this before I even read it. If we could live verse 12, in fact, I'm going to challenge everybody in the church, take verse 12 and meditate on it all week long. Okay? It has three little statements in it. I want us to read it. Here it comes. Verse 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. If we could live that, it'd change a church. it changed a whole group of people. You know what happens when you change a church? When God changes a church, He changes a community. He's glorified. He's made known. Not because of events, not because of making sure that we do the right things, but because our hearts are in the right place. Rejoicing in hope is very simple, but it's something that I think that most of us miss. Rejoicing in hope is recognizing that our hope is in Christ, that our hope is in our salvation. And it's not dependent upon whether or not we get our way this week. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I tell you what. Let me save you 99 cents a minute, all right? I'm going to give it to you right here. Here's your horoscope. Are you ready? Here it is. You will not get your way this week. And you know what? God's saying it doesn't matter. Because our hope isn't supposed to be in whether or not we get our way. Our hope is supposed to be in Jesus and what He's already done. So the fact of that means this: we can rejoice all the time, no matter what's going on. And you say, what about the hard times? Well, Paul talks about that right next. Here it is. Be patient in tribulation. Well, that's not what we want to hear, is it? We don't want be patient in tribulation. I want to drive 200 miles an hour through tribulation and get out of the other side of it, because I don't want to deal with it anymore, right? And some of you are right there in the middle of that, and you know that. You know that you're thinking to yourself, man, I just want the hurt to stop. I just want the suffering to go away. And God's saying, be patient. And you're like, no, I don't want to do that. And I understand that. Let me challenge you with something. If you're not suffering right now, if you're not dealing with something right now, let me just tell you something. You will, okay? So you can put this in your bonnet and save it till later, because so many of you wear bonnets all the time anyway. But be patient in tribulation means this. God chooses for us to suffer at times in our lives. And here's the thing. If we're not careful, we're so consumed with ourselves that when the suffering comes, all we can think about is getting out of it. That's why He's saying, be patient. Okay? Because there's something else to happen here. And usually that something else is that God not calls, He doesn't call us to suffering for no reason at all. He calls us to suffering because of our calling, which is to give Him glory. Don't miss glorifying God and making much of Him in the midst of the suffering because you're so consumed with a want to get out the other side. And that is the temptation for us. We just want to get out the other side. But sometimes we've got to experience the season. He knows better for us what we need to go through. But not only that, He wants to use us in the middle of that so that others see what Christ is doing in us. And you may go, Chris, I think that I am horrible at suffering for Jesus. Because all I think about is getting out the other side. That's because you're human. Okay? But recognize the opportunity. And remember what Paul gives us. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. You need hope today? It comes in Christ. It comes in what He's already done. And let me tell you this. He's not done working. So if for some reason that's not computing, let me just tell you something. Jesus is not done being at work. He wants to continue to do a great work in your life. He wants to use you for His kingdom. It is the purpose of your life. It is our calling. We got the last statement here to that verse here, verse 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Be constant in prayer. I look back on moments in my life and I recognize times in my life where I was trusting in God more than others based upon how much I prayed. I think about the days before we started the church and through the first years of starting church, and I think, man, I feel like all I did was pray. I feel like that's all we did. It's like, God, we don't know what we're doing. We totally need You to lead us. We don't have a clue. We were sometimes faking it until we made it, you know. At least it felt that way. We're trying to be right in our hearts and be right with Jesus, which is how you get to that point, by the way, if we hadn't made that clear yet so far this morning. But to be constant in prayer is this reminder of this. God is waiting on us. And I can't tell you how many folks I talk to that say things like this to me, where they say, you know, I feel like God left me. Let me just tell you something. It's true. It's not something I'm making up. God never leaves us. We sing a song. His love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. He's never left us. Never, not once. He's always there waiting for us. Even when we turn our backs, even when we don't deserve for him to wait on us, even when we are sinning against him, he's there waiting on us, for us to turn and come to him. And I pray that you could be encouraged by that today, especially if you're in the tribulation and you're going, I don't want to be patient in that. I don't really want to rejoice in anything else. The only thing I'm going to rejoice in is me getting out of this situation. And God is saying, your situation is not where you're going to find your hope. It is in me. Find your hope in me. Be patient in the tribulation. And come to me constantly in prayer. Meditate on verse 12 this week. Verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Well, we've talked even this morning about some of the needs that we have here. If you were to say, Chris, what are needs? I've already told you. We've got needs. We put them out there. We're building a team within our kids ministry of folks that will be committed to our kids and most importantly, committed to Christ. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. It goes even further than just a Sunday morning type thing, though. This is talking about that we would be willing. We would be willing to open our homes and our lives to other people. Showing hospitality is getting your hands dirty. That's having people in your house, you know, that you don't know very well and all this kind of stuff. You go, I don't know what I can do. You can, okay? You can. God's called us to be used like this. So the questions become things like this. Who has God placed in my life that I'm supposed to bear with, to be devoted to love unconditionally? Who is it in my life that I'm supposed to be eager to maintain their relationship, to keep unity as part of the body? Who is it that's in my life that God has put there that I'm supposed to sacrifice time, that I'm supposed to show them brotherly affection that maybe they've never been shown by anyone on the planet? God is calling all of us to rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and constant in prayer. And as a reminder of it all, we have what we have in 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says this in verse 24. It says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Check it out. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. I'll read verse 24 again. In light of thinking about our calling to bear with one another, I'm about to read to you how Christ has bore with us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and lived a righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. You say, Chris, you don't know the situations I got in my life. I understand. I've had some hard situations in my life too. But you know what? My hope isn't in situations anymore. My hope is in Jesus. It's in my salvation. It's in what he's already done. It's in the work of the cross where he bore my sins. And he died that I might die to sin and live to righteousness, that I might be made new, and that he might use me in this world to complete the purpose that he has called me to do. And I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail him, and I'm going to fail you, and I'm going to fail my wife and my kids and all my friends. At some point in some time, we're all going to do that because we're sinners. But Paul's saying today, bear with one another. Be devoted. Be devoted to one another. And when he's saying be devoted to one another, he's saying be devoted to the church. Be devoted to the body. Take care of one another. Do it eagerly. Don't be slothful about your zeal. Don't, you know, run the race, run it as hard as you can. Be excited about what God's going to do, because let us be reminded, Jesus is not done. He's coming back, and he's going to claim his kingdom, and we get to be a part of it. And he's got a bunch of stuff between now and then that he wants us to be a part of. And yeah, we can be Christians that decide to sit on a park bench and say, you know what, I'm just going to wait because I'm good and I got my fire insurance. That's not the life that God has called us to. And you know, Chris, the life it seems like God has called us to seems really messy. And you are right. It is. And so far, I have yet to find one that's more exciting and more fulfilling and more at peace in my heart and my soul. And even when I'm running from God because I'm choosing to worship some sin over him, even in those moments, I know better in my heart that I am choosing something that is so stupid that it doesn't even make sense. And it's like Paul says, I hate the things that I do sometimes. Talking about his own sin. We're all there. Some of you may be here this morning and you may just say, you know, I've been to churches and I've known Christians and I'm turned off. I'm not buying in. Well, let me tell you something. It's because we're sinners and we failed people. And the truth is this: God has called us together to bear with one another. And it shouldn't ever be that because of a Christian or a church that has done something wrong to you, that you miss out on the greatest thing that could ever happen in your life, which is that God wants to save you from yourself and from your sin. Let him do it. Believe in him. Trust in him. Today. Do it today. Why wait? For the rest of us that know Christ, we're just challenged. We feel a little bit kicked in the face, don't we? Because the truth is our calling is so much more than just faking it till we make it. It's bearing with one another and being devoted to one another like Christ has done for us. And we can do that because of what Jesus has done in us, but we can't do it on our own. So it really becomes not a checklist of things that we should do. It becomes a heart issue, so that when we look at those things and we go, well, I'm not there, then we know we have a heart issue. Then we need to seek Jesus, because his love changes hearts. So we're called to stick it out with one another. But the truth is without him, we can't. Seek him. Let him change your heart. Let's pray together.